Smart Women Publish podcast. I'm your host, Bev Ryan. I love helping smart women write and publish nonfiction books that will have impact on their world and in others' world. I'm also the author of the book Smart Women Publish. So today I'm talking with Jules Brooke, who's in Melbourne, Australia, and her business, or she calls herself a DIY PR expert, which we'll talk a little bit more about shortly. So my first question today is to tell us about a book that's profoundly, I get it wrong every time, profoundly impacted you.
We all have those words we trip over. Well, I have to say that the book that springs to mind when you said that you wanted me to think of a book that's had a big impact is quite old, so I'm probably showing my age. But in my 20s, I read a book that is very famous called Rich Man, Poor Man. And for some reason, it just really resonated with me. I loved that he was talking about how you can sort of make money passively and how rich people think and how that's how they get richer and why poor people, you know, do things that are wrong, or not wrong, but, you know, maybe not as ideal. And it really had a big effect on me. And since then, obviously, I have read quite a lot of books, one of which we connected on was Fiore Giovanni's book about resilience. But I actually have had the privilege of working with quite a lot of women who are authors and some men. And so I get that I'm very lucky in that I get access to loads of books. So I don't think it would be fair for me to choose one of those as being my favourite.
Right. Not publicly. That's right. How has your career led you to this present time as a DIY PR expert?
Well, it's a kind of a long and roundabout kind of weird story, but I picked up a PR job before I did PR virtually and taught myself how to do it. I was asked to do PR for a DVD and I really needed the money, and I was intrigued as well to see what it was like. And I actually found it was quite easy, that there were lots of journalists and lots of people out there on radio and TV that really wanted the stories. And so on the back of that, I set up an agency. And my PR agency specialised in small business owners and startups and entrepreneurs, and we worked with a few inventors as well. And on the back of that, we realised that the media really, really wants content. It really needs people to send through their stories, because journalists just don't make up stories and they can't find them anywhere easily. So they rely on people sending it to them. And then when the GFC hit, the global financial crisis, I ended up losing some of the clients, because they just literally, I mean, a PR agency is going to cost you $3,000 or $4,000 a month for 3 to 6 months minimum. And so some of our clients really couldn't afford that kind of thing, especially when money was a bit tight and we weren't sure what was happening in the world. And it was at that moment that I thought, wow, you know, I should just teach people how to go directly to the media themselves and pitch their stories themselves. They don't need us to be in the middle. And from that, I launched Handle Your Own PR. And then in 2017, I launched a PR platform, or what they call a SaaS platform, software as a service, which basically means that you can go onto the platform, build your own media contact list, write your media release in our template, and then send it out to the journalists from your own email address and do the follow-up all within the same platform. And that's kind of made a massive difference. And so that's kind of the tool. And since then, I've created online training programs and in-person programs where you get to talk with lots of journalists and pick their brains about newsworthy angles.
Fantastic. So you've built a business from servicing or serving clients one-to-one, I suppose, to a totally different platform based on the wonderful internet that we have access to.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. The GFC, I was publishing at that stage as well. I was publishing a magazine, and the same thing. I just impacted it impacted my ability to create an income from advertising. So then I had to rethink, and from that I began working with authors who are self-publishing books. So it's interesting anything like an economic crisis, if I have to find another way.
Yes. Well, but I figured that we're also uniquely placed should any more catastrophes find.
Yes.
We've set up our businesses on the back of the fact that, you know, we knew that people couldn't afford full services for everything all the time.
Yeah, definitely.
So, big companies anyway.
That's right. So I work with authors who are business owners or professionals who want to add a book to their sort of their repertoire or their CV or whatever. And I know that you help authors with publicity. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about that. How can an author, or how do you work with authors for a start?
Okay, well, over the years now, I have worked with loads and loads of authors, and as more and more people are publishing, and it is a terrific idea. In fact, I really need to get my own book happening, because it really does position you as being an expert, and it opens a lot of doors. So I completely understand why people are doing it. I think one of the things that I notice when I work with authors, well, firstly, authors are in a unique situation because they can write. So being able to write is a huge part of doing PR. So already they're there. Secondly, everybody has got, every single author I've worked with has got some fantastic information and advice in their book that they can then use to get out to the media. One of the things that I've noticed with the amount of people that are self-publishing is that journalists won't take a book and the launch of a book in itself as being newsworthy. So these days you can't just say, guess what, my book's just come out. You've got to actually take that content that's in the book and use it to help other people and then tell them to go to your book for more information. That's kind of the attitude for or the best way to do it. So yeah, I've worked with a lot of authors across a lot of different industries, and including Fiore, who I know is one of your clients, Fiore Giovanni.
Yes.
And helped her get some TV and front page newspaper coverage. But authors are just the perfect person to handle their own PR.
Let's have a little bit more of a chat about Fiore, because she's, a good case study, example of how yes. you found or helped her find the real story. Now, Fiore Giovanni, her brilliant book, her book is called Defy Your Destiny. Fiore's told her own story in her book. So she's a business owner in Melbourne, but she really wanted to share her story, which is basically a memoir, I suppose. But
it's
she also
incredible story.
Yeah, it is. She's an astounding young lady, and yeah. she also wanted the book obviously to impact her business, because now she is an executive coach. So, you know, if you want a coach who's walked the talk, who's walked the walk, literally walked the walk, because that's her subtitle is "Take the Walk." That's I should have it in front of me. I don't, but it's about walking. The subtitle, and in her book she did several horrendously long walks. What is it, Jules? You've got it there.
It's called Defy Your Destiny, and the strap line is make your most painful walk your most triumphant journey.
Yes, so a great book. Now, just using back to Fiore, what did you work with her to or how did you help her come up with what the media would regard as newsworthy?
Okay, so what we did was we took the content that was in the book. So Fiore's story is about how she was almost a child bride. She managed to escape from that and got put into the army in Eritrea, and then basically walked from Eritrea to Belgium, you know, in a roundabout way, in order to escape that and start building a new life for herself, and ended up in Australia in her late teens or early 20s, I think. 20s. So already it was an absolutely incredible story, and that it's what they call a human interest story. And the media is always looking for those kind of things. So what we did was we took the main part of the story and we went out to radio and TV first, because Fiore was very keen to get some TV. She got picked up by, I think it was the Today Show or Weekend Today Show, and went on and explained her story there. She then went out, we went out to a lot of different media. So we were ringing a lot of people. She's had quite a few radio interviews as well. And then there was, you've always got to try and think outside the square. So we sent it out to the Mildura, whatever the Mildura newspaper is, Sunraysia Daily, I think it's called. And they came back, as you will often find, with where is the local link? We need there to be a link. And as we were sitting there going, oh, what link can we think up with, come up with? She said, oh, well, my boyfriend was brought up there. And so we told them that. And the following week, she was on the front page. She had the full front page story, which was amazing. She's also written a whole lot of articles around ways to defy your destiny, ways to be resilient, and put those out in the media, and a lot of those have been picked up as well. But it's all about taking that content and her learnings and what she likes to do in her talks and her coaching and get that out there into the media as advice articles, really.
Mm. Nice, advice articles, yeah. And that, I think that would sit very comfortably with most non-fiction authors.
Yes.
That's what they do.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I sort of, when I'm talking with authors, I say, look, you've spent a lot of time on your content. You've normally spent a lot of time also trying to work out what your chapter headings should be so that they make sense and they're sort of fun. And so, or fun or informative. So what I suggest to a lot of authors is that you take your chapter heading, turn it into a heading for a media release, and then in 500 words or so underneath, do a kind of synopsis of what's in that chapter and what people can learn from it. And then at the bottom of the release, you just put, for more information, go to www. Or, you know, if you're interested in this, so-and-so has written a book and it's available at this price at these places. Mm. And that tends to work really, really well. And of course, as an author, hardly anyone has only got a 3-chapter book. Most people have got at least 12. So that means you can do one media release per month, send it out and get a year's worth of coverage, which is a great way to position and get started in terms of PR.
I think one of the key things that authors, non-fiction authors, have to understand, and they need to understand this before they write the book as well, they need to understand what their message is to the world.
Yes.
It's not about the book. A book is a method.
No.
A means.
That's right. I often say to people, without wanting to be rude, it's not about you at all. And the journalists are not interested in promoting your book. That is of very, very little interest to them. But they love it if you can help people avoid making mistakes, if you can enhance people's lives, if you can entertain them, and if they can learn from you.
Mm. I often get asked, of the value of a print book as opposed to an ebook. Now, I will always say, do both, ebook.
Yes,
and a print
I would
book.
Agree, and I'd add audiobook into that as well.
Yes, yeah, definitely. But just from the point of view of the media, do they take a print book more seriously than a media release that would say, "Well, I've done an ebook"?
No, I think a hard copy book is, in terms of, and I'm only talking specifically now about PR. Mm. So a hard copy book is nice to send a journalist, but I don't think that they particularly care whether it comes as a soft copy or a hard copy or as audio. Where it will become useful is obviously for new business and things that you're doing outside of your PR, but also as giveaways, because a lot of people don't think that you could give away your book as a prize, and as a result the media outlet will promote it because they'll be saying, you know, do you want to be in the running to win this great book by so and so about such and such. They would need to be hard copies. Yes. Or they would be much more profound in terms of a gift or a prize if it's right. A hard copy. So that's probably where it's useful. Otherwise, other than that, with the media, it's all about the content.
Sure. Okay. Good point. So that's a small angle there, just offering your book as a prize for some.
Absolutely. And here I'll give everyone a little hint if they're in Australia. If you've got enough books, and I know that it's a big ask that I'm talking about, but Studio 10, which is a morning TV show on Channel 10, have got 60 people in their audience every single day. Now, if you can give them 60 units of your book, they will promote it for a minute on air and also put links to your website and, you know, offer promo codes. They'll be quite commercial about it. So for any of you that have got a lot of books or are sitting on a few boxes of them and you're happy to give away 60 in return for a minute on air, then you can say, as seen on Channel 10, because with PR, it's not really all about being published or being interviewed so much as what you can do with it afterwards. So then you could say on the book or on your website, as seen on Studio 10 or on Channel 10, you can take that clipping of the promotion that Studio 10 is doing and push it out in social media. And there's a very good chance, if you're going to give away that much, that they will also get you on for an interview. So it's just a way in if you're finding it hard.
Well, that's good to know. We'll talk
more about that. Yes, actually, let me just keep going. There is a brilliant website called PrizePig, PrizePig.com.au, And on there, that's where the media outlets will go and say, if you can give me X number of prizes or X value of prizes, I'll give you this in return. And so it's a great way for people to maybe just sign up for a couple of months and get some prizes happening whilst you're also trying to get the editorial happening.
Fantastic. Thank you.
That's okay.
Big tip. Right. So what do you see authors struggle with the most, or business owners who are authors, what do you see them struggle with the most when they start?
Look, the biggest problem that I see that people do is they make their media release or their media pitch way too commercial. You've got to remember this is not an ad. And I think that's probably the biggest bit of advice I can give people. Your name and your content is probably the last paragraph on your media release. You need to be offering a whole lot of information or a whole lot of value for people. And then at the bottom, you can say for more information, go to wherever it is. So I think the biggest mistake is that people think they treat it like it's of national importance that they've written a book, when actually it's the content that people want. If you don't go out with that, it comes out as too commercial. Hence, you start getting calls from the advertising reps, which no one really wants.
No. So in my career in publishing, I've published two magazines. They were never big magazines. I distributed probably 5,000 or 6,000. So I was happy
still
doing.
Still pretty big.
They were niche magazines.
What were they?
Well, the first one was called Work From Home. Which started in 1998 when the interest in home-based business was starting to grow. Yeah. And I did that for 3 years. Then 2006 to 2009, till the GFC, I published Honestly Woman, which was aimed at mature women who love magazines but were just fed up with the commercial reality of, the big magazines were full of glossy advertising.
I wish you'd do that one again. I'd love
16-year-olds wearing outfits that they're trying to sell to 50-year-olds, I hit the target with that. But the point I'm making, as an editor, if I received a book in the mail with a press release in the book, I would also have wanted that press release to come as an email, as an attachment. Who's going to retype it? Don't send it to me in a print version.
Well, yes, that's true too. So the idea, I guess the next hint in terms of doing PR is that you need to write as if you are the journalist and write it for them. Yes. So don't think that you're writing to the journalist going, here's some information, will you write a story around it? Mm-hmm. Because they just don't have time these days to write stories unless they're really big stories. So my suggestion and what I do when I'm teaching people is write it as an article that you would read in a magazine or a newspaper, and then the journalists often will literally cut and paste it, put it in. I've always bang on about the importance of photography as well, because they'll need to illustrate that article. Mm-hmm. So if you can send them a photo and a terrific article, you will 9 times out of 10 get that published.
Yeah. So, I was doing that. Gosh, it's 10 years ago now. Today, there are so many more media outlets hungry for content than then.
That's right.
Who's out there looking for content every day?
Goodness. Oh, big question. Well, the websites. I'd say that business websites are always looking. So there is one called The Telegraph. There's another one called, which is a magazine as well, because remember that all the magazines these days have websites, and it's not always the same content that's in the magazine that's in the website.
Yes.
The small business sections of newspapers. But also, to go back to your comment about your own niche magazines, I really would encourage people to look for those niche magazines, because it might only be going out to 6,000 people, but it's 6,000 people in absolutely your target market. So if you have, something about real estate, then try and get it out to the real estate bloggers, try and get it out to the investment real estate magazines, that kind of thing, and websites. If you're parenting, there's loads of parenting websites and so on. And the other thing is, don't forget bloggers. So there are bloggers who are incredibly successful, and these days they are literally like a media outlet, and they are also wanting to put loads and loads of content and do giveaways on their websites and on their blogs. So that's kind of, yeah. That's how I would.
Yeah, and podcasters. I mean, podcasters are looking for interviews.
People to interview. That's right. So, and the thing is that now, because there's mainstream media, which I help people with, but also all these little niche media, and there are so many of them that you probably can find a few that are focused on your particular area of interest.
Yeah, definitely. Well, when I was doing both magazines, but the second one aiming at mature women audience, it was, that's right, the beauty of those magazines is that, you know, I knew exactly who my readers were.
Yes.
And I did attract some larger businesses that did advertise with me, because they knew that, you know, they knew the audience really well.
That's
I think in terms of mature women, I'm going a bit off track here, but I think it's one of the most misunderstood segments of the market that there is out there.
I sense that things are changing because, you know, they're now starting to talk about how many people are going to be old at the same time, 30% of the population or something. But I think also we now see women who are much older who are really funky and cool and young at heart, and they don't need to have knitting, you know, knitting patterns and, you know, I don't know, read, you know, sort of Mills and Boone kind of stories. We want, you know, stuff that's a bit more chunky. I say we because I'm a woman of a mature age these days too.
I'm more mature than you.
Not much, I don't reckon.
Depends what we mean by mature.
Well, that too.
Okay, so we've talked about how you help authors. Yeah, so what if somebody comes to you to get some assistance? What options do they have to work with you?
Okay, so I've got three different options, really. One is the SaaS platform, as I mentioned. So if you know how to do PR and you've done PR before, or you're very clear on your story angles, then you can literally sign up to we call it the PR engine, and just start sending them out. So that's the first option. The next option is for people who maybe want to just do a 3-month campaign and see how they go, which is called my PR Bootcamp. And for that, you get 3 months on the PR platform, you get some video lessons and an ebook, and you get weekly mentoring from me online as a group thing. And then my sort of penultimate training session, which has, I'm very pleased to say, about a 95% success rate, is my PR Accelerator, where people spend 2 days with me every quarter, and I bring in a whole lot of journalists, and the journalists will sit with you and help you come up with newsworthy angles and then edit your media release after it's done. And the idea is that you come to 4 of those over the year, and at each one we focus on 3 months worth of PR, write the media releases, edit them for you, build up the media contact lists, and schedule it to go out so that you've kind of done 3 months worth of PR in 2 days. You also get the weekly mentoring and everything from the boot camp, but those are the three options that I have at the moment. They're all, I would have to say, incredibly reasonably priced. So I've actually deliberately priced them very low so that everyone can access them.
Mm. Yes, I'm a believer in accessibility.
Yes.
I mean, you've got to make a living. You have to position it so it's got value and it's perceived as value, but it's also got to be accessible.
No, well, that's right. And I think PR agencies are, as I said, $3,000 or $4,000 a month. Most of the professional media contacts kind of databases, the PR profession, and weirdly, none of them target small business, which I find amazing. But you're looking at $3,000 to $6,000 a year as well. So whatever way you look at it, it's pricey, whereas mine is, you know, the platform itself is under $400 for a year. So that's a really good incentive. Or the bootcamp is $600, really good incentive to go out and get some PR. And of course, if you do it yourself, the journalists get to know what you specialize in. You build relationships directly with them as well. And believe me, they will come back to you mm-hmm. when they've got topics that are relevant to, you know, your area of expertise.
So I've had a couple of clients who have invested in PR in the early stages of their books. One in particular I've got in mind, Tanya Bartolini, she wrote a cookbook.
Yeah.
This is going back several years. She worked in a high level job in finance and left that because she had children. She comes from an Italian family, and Italian cooking is part of their family life. So she launched a book of Italian recipes, plus her family stories interwoven through that. A large investment because it was a beautiful coloured book hardcover. But she needed, obviously, to get the word out, so she invested in PR. And that made a huge difference to her business.
It did, are you saying? Yeah.
Yes, it did, yes.
Yeah, I worked with an author again many, many years ago. It's similar, so it was a cookbook that, and she took it to, I don't even know what this is, but there's some big book awards in Paris that give you the book of the year. And she won Best Children's Cookbook Worldwide. And so she came back, she was a woman from Toorak in Melbourne. And she came back and she said to me, how can I get coverage? And what she did was she went, we went, well, I encouraged her, but we went to the morning TV shows and offered to bring on some kids and teach them how to cook on the show. And they loved it so much that they asked her back every school holidays to do a segment on cooking recipes for kids. So there's always different ways, but yeah, it can make a massive, massive difference to people's awareness, I guess.
Awareness, yes. I guess the other thing that probably you and I also caution authors is don't expect a spike of sales overnight.
No, sometimes, if you are Fiori and you've got an incredible story, then, you know, obviously you're going to go on to TV or radio and people are going to go, wow, I want to hear more of that. But for the average person on the street, and I include myself in that, we don't have, unless you've got something really amazing, then it's going to be a slow build and you want to get consistent coverage over a period of time in order for it to affect your SEO ranking, in order for people to start seeing you as an expert. So, I'm a big believer in not just dipping your toe into PR, but like committing for 12 months and really going hard, because if you can do that over a 12-month period, it'll probably stand you in good stead for the next 2 or 3 years. And apart from that, of course, then you know what you're doing and so you can start sending out more regularly. But it's about building a presence online. I think that's really important.
So publishing your book is really part of the process. It's what you do once the book's published that's really important.
And, that's right.
It's wonderful that I can have people like you on the show, because I can help people write their book, produce their book, publish their book online, and give them some guidance to some extent. But then they'll need to reach out and find other people to help them through the next stages.
Well, yes, because, and to be honest, I've worked with lots of publishing companies where, unlike you, they have offered PR as part of the thing. And then, I don't want to diss anyone, but most of the times the author is extremely underwhelmed by what's been done, because if you think about it, you're going to a small publisher and they're offering to do PR, they're outsourcing it probably, and they've got a whole lot of authors to do. So what they do is they send out a media release, it goes everywhere, and if it gets picked up, great, and if it doesn't get picked up, bad luck. Whereas it's much better if you can have that control, I think, know who the journalist is. And then the other thing that we were talking about that's really important is that if you are going to target niche media, you are getting the message right for that particular niche. And that's why with PR, I'm all about finding as many small, ridiculously small niches if possible that you can get, because then you'll find the media that feeds into that and you can set right messages that will immediately people will get it.
Mm-hmm. Now, when I work with authors, I start with, if I'm doing book coaching where somebody says, well, I've got an idea for a book and this is my business and I'm not sure what to do next, we really go back to the basics of what their business is about, who it's for, who they want to reach, what they care about, which I imagine is very similar to when you work with somebody with PR.
Absolutely.
When they're reaching out to speak to the bigger world about what they care about, they've got to kind of know who that is.
That's right, that's right. So you need the niche markets, and then you also need to work out what messages are going to go out to those markets and what you want the PR to achieve. Mm. I mean, some people write books because they want speaking opportunities, and I work with a lot of authors like that. And of course, one of the things that PR does is it does bring those speaking opportunities. In fact, I've had a couple of authors I've worked with and a couple of business people who've done consistent PR and have been asked to go and speak overseas.
Nice.
So because people will Google your name, and if you've got a whole lot of published articles underneath your name, then you are seen as that expert and they go, oh, well, look, I won't go any further. That's the person I need to get to come and speak at my event.
Mm. Awesome. You and I should work together. We'll talk more. Okay, so just I guess any tips, any sort of closing tips for authors who are working on their books right now?
I guess the two things that are really important is that people do have a website or some kind of a web presence that they can push people to if they're going to do PR, because journalists are not going to go ring this phone number. They're going to say, go to this website. So you need a website. It's very important that you have some kind of photography that illustrates what it is that you do, because if you don't, you may get stories up, but you're in with a much smaller chance of getting it. And then the only other thing I would say is, as I said earlier, is really you all of your authors have got fantastic content. So get that content out of your book, put it into 500 or 600 words and give it a lovely snappy headline and send it out to the media, not asking them if they'll do the story. Pretend you're the journalist that you're writing already for that particular magazine or newspaper.
Mm. Fantastic. So what's your web address? Where could people find you? One more time.
It's www.handleyourownpr.com.au. Handle as in door handle, HandleYourownPR. It's one of those names that I loved the idea of it, and it has been the bane of my life in terms of my URL. You know, my email address is so long.
That's long, but anyway. Yes. But it says what it is.
Right? It does.
So we've been talking with Jules Brook today, and I strongly suggest you reach out and follow her. She's doing all sorts of interesting things. And like everybody that I talk to, I think we are all good role models or examples for other people of how to make our business better, how to do things better, how to do it even though we're frightened of doing it or whatever. So, you know, we've all got a story and we all want to kind of help each other along the way. I'm Bev Ryan, and you can find me at smartwomenpublish.com. Thank you.